How many have had a good week? Anybody? A couple people? That's good. Good morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we just take a moment and just rest our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, that you, God, are in us. You're here right now. Father, we just ask that we would just be able to worship you without any distractions today. That we'd be able to, Lord, focus on you, Lord, and set our hearts and our minds, our sights on you this morning. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord, of our praise. You're worthy, Lord, of our worship. You're worthy, Lord, of our adoration. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
us.
Oh, said to myself, I don't know that all of those words can actually be used for my walk with the Lord right now, because the first word that hit me was contained. You know how we're contained and God is supposed to be in us. Well, we have the lid to open or not, to allow him in. We're the ones, it's our choice whether he's contained in here or not. And then the other one was in the last song. Jesse, could you go to the chorus of the last song real quick? Completely is one of them. Offer my heart completely. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I've been hurt in relationship before. And my relationships from that time on can be contaminated by that. I could hold back some things from him in this relationship. Well, we can do the same thing with God. And what we have to decide is, one, no matter what, and I'm talking no matter what, and I can say that, no matter what, he loves me. He does. He can't help himself. Have any of you women ever made something and then you cut it up and you put it out on plates and people are just gobbling it up and you're just like, that's instant gratification. Like, oh, they like my cooking. You know what I mean? Well, God's gratification is us. He's pleased in us. This container is enough to hold him. But does our life replicate that? First thing is, he loves me, and now it's my turn to love him back. So this last song we're going to be singing is all about that. So I've never said this before, but lose yourself in those words. Really, really, really put yourself there. See how much gets contained inside you, or how completely abandoned you are with the Lord as we sing this song.
Your affections are for me.
I hear the Lord saying, no matter what, whatever the enemy has whispered into you, whatever someone has said that has made you question, no matter what, he loves you.
Normally I'm talking, but thought we'd just enjoy the quiet for a moment.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well, last week we shared on just passing through. And that's because Gay's mom just passed through. And she is now in glory, enjoying, I'm sure, Dad's company. What was it that you said? What took you so long or something like that?
Well, my mom, hello.
Hello.
Yep. My dad would sit and jiggle keys.
Come on, Carolyn, let's go. And she'd be taking forever. And she had a stroke that Sunday, and she didn't pass until Thursday. And I told everybody in the room, I said, just like her to keep him waiting. He's probably up there saying, come on, Carolyn, let's go.
Exactly, right?
She's going to go in her time and not before.
When she is good and ready.
That's right.
Well, we're continuing the book of John, and we've been doing it since the beginning of the year, so it's, I don't know if we'll get through chapter one the first year, because it seems to be full of stuff. So I was going to do verses 29 through 34 today, so I started laying all that out, and I got to verse 29, and I started studying the very first item. And as I was studying it and pondering it, I said, I don't think I can do any more than this verse because of what is said here and what it means and the power behind it. And this may be review for some of us, but I think it's really good to be reminded of Jesus being the Lamb of God. Now, this is interesting because we're after Easter, we're after the crucifixion, but In our schedule of things, this is when it's working out that we're doing this verse. But I'm going to go ahead and have Gay read the first few verses to catch up, and we're starting at verse 14.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Mm-hmm. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. as the prophet Isaiah said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things are done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And verse 29 is, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Father, we just come before your throne of grace right now, Lord. We come, Lord, as your children, Lord. We come, Lord, as those seeking to know the truth, Lord, because we know as we know the truth experientially, Lord, we will be set free. So, Father, we just ask today that you would release the truth that's in your word here today. That if we've read over these scriptures, if we think that we know this passage, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive, Lord, a new layer, Lord, of your truth. Lord, a new understanding of your truth, Lord. That you are the Lamb of God. And what that means, Lord, and what you accomplished in being the Lamb of God and are still the Lamb of God. Lord, we thank you that you are in working in all of our lives for your good pleasure, that you are causing our hearts, Lord, to know you deeper and deeper every single day. And so right now, Lord, I release, Lord, every individual in this place to grow and to become who you've called them to be during this time. In Jesus' name. Lamb of God, I saw that picture. I thought that was great. Lamb running in front of the cross. So the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We just read that last passage where John says, you know, I'm not the Christ, you know, I'm not Elijah, I'm not the prophet, and this is who I am. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he explains, you know, that Messiah is among them and that we don't know who he is. And so the next day, John declares, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, if we were to keep reading on, somehow, I think between yesterday, and when he says, behold the Lamb of God, Jesus gets baptized. We don't see it in that passage, but we see it in other Gospels. But something takes place that John realizes that this is the Lamb of God. Now, we use the term the Lamb of God a lot, don't we? Lamb of God. We hear the term the Lamb of God. And you would think that it was going to be like a common term all the way through the Bible. Well, it's not. It's interesting. That term, the Lamb of God, is used in about five verses down again. And then it's used, the same kind of verbiage about the Lamb of God is used in Revelations. And John, when he said that, I don't think the crowd realized the depth of what he said when he said that Jesus was the Lamb of God. I mean, I don't know if they were thinking of Passover or they were thinking of what they use lambs for. But, I mean, that description right there describes Jesus' whole ministry. Mm-hmm. That he was the Lamb of God to be sacrificed. And I'm sure people, you know, oh, Lamb of God, you know, must have been like, you know, a catchphrase then. But if they would have just taken a moment, wait a minute, Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is a sacrifice. And so John had the revelation of Jesus being the sacrifice. He had the revelation of Jesus taking away the sins of the world. So let's get a little bit of history here. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 through 5, It reads, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it accordingly, according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Now listen to this. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats." Now this is interesting because this is Exodus 12. This is, I believe, after they have come out of Egypt. And this is God saying, now you guys just did the Passover. And you just thought that it was going to get you out of Egypt. You just thought it was for a one-time event. But I want you, if we go back here, I want you on the 10th of this month, which was probably March back then, and it was based upon the new moon that came up on the 10th day from that new moon, which, what is that, folks? That's Easter. On Easter, I want you to take a lamb. I want you to do it according to as you did before, which, you know, it's another place it describes it in detail that they were to eat all of the lamb, not let any remain basically until morning. If they did, they were to burn it. I mean, they were to, you know, wear shoes and all this thing because they were getting ready to leave. And so to them, this meant that the death angel that was sent to kill all of Egypt's firstborn would pass over Israel's firstborn.
Because they wiped the blood.
Because they wiped the blood of that lamb on their doorpost. Didn't get into all that. The point being is that it was a lamb. It was a lamb that was used for a sacrifice. And it does say here that you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. So it was a lamb, a youngling, no older than one, that was without blemish, without spot. It was to not be, you know, a crippled lamb. It wasn't to be a lamb that was, you know, leaning sideways when it stood up. You know, it's like, I don't think that's the one we're to use. I mean, it's supposed to be a lamb that actually looked like it was healthy and strong and fitting for this sacrifice.
I always thought the blemish was more like a color on the lamb. But I never thought about it being actually a physical attribute of the lamb.
I'm just using that term because in other places, in Leviticus, right, Jesse, it talks about sacrifices can't be crippled or broken. So I'm pretty sure that in that previous passage of Exodus, which I should have read, but anyway, I didn't. It talks about that the blemish was, you know.
Well, I think
a physical.
Pimple.
I mean, oh, you think a pimple?
Don't you guys? I mean, I do. I think. Yeah, blemish for sure, but you
do
can't find
lambs
a pimple
get
on
pimples?
A lamb.
I don't know.
That's
maybe.
What I'm thinking. What
can someone
mean?
Look that up? No, I'm just kidding. I'll be checking it out. Google it. Okay. Anyway, Jesse's checking it out.
No, I'm sure it has to do with being perfect. No half abnormalities.
Right, no abnormalities. No physical defects. I would think even that would mean exterior-wise, too.
Yeah.
You know. Not a third ear or anything like that, you know, so. What's that? I know, I get weird pictures in my head. So, go back. Behold the Lamb of God. Were they listening to him? Behold the Lamb of God. I mean, they're, oh my goodness, and they start following him and everything, but did they let it sink in? Did it take Jesus to go to the crucifixion and to, you know, be hanging on the cross before John started to realize, wait a minute, behold the Lamb of God. See what I'm saying?
I bet a lot of things came in his mind about, oh, that's what you meant. Oh, that must be what you meant. You know what I mean? That's what
where I'm going, you cannot come.
Yeah. Those kind of things that, you know, that they missed in the 3 years they were with him. I mean, what an honor we have that God chose us to be the bride, you know? It's just, it's crazy.
It's an awesome gift and responsibility.
Yeah.
Isaiah 53:7. Here's another verse that talks about it. I think it's Isaiah 50. No, I'm sorry. No, it went to Peter. Sorry. 1 Peter. Never mind. We'll go to Isaiah 53:7 another day. No, 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Isn't that interesting that Peter's reminding his individuals he's writing the letter to, which includes us today, that we haven't been redeemed with things that are of monetary value, gold, silver. That's not what's redeemed us. It is the blood of Christ that has redeemed us. And not just the blood of Christ, but the blood of Christ that was a spotless lamb that was without blemish or without fault or guilt. Here's another one. I said I would get to it. We did. Isaiah 53:7. You guys know Isaiah 53. That's the great passage of Isaiah where he's really describing the whole ministry of Christ's sacrifice. That he was going to be, you know, beaten for our transgressions, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. That's Isaiah 53:5. But just a couple verses down is this. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. You guys remember when he was in front of Pontius Pilate? I mean, he's like pressing him when he's in front of the Pharisees and Sadducees and Sanhedrin. They're just pressing him to get him to say something. And I mean, all he does is basically just remark to a question, but he doesn't defend himself. His mouth is shut. And he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He kept himself quiet. Why? Because he was not there to be set free. He was not there to speak his case to the place where they, oh, I understand what you're saying. Sure, you can go free. No, he was there for a purpose. He was the Lamb of God. And he knew it. And he would have to suffer what you and I would have to have otherwise suffered. So let's get into Revelation now. Revelation has some amazing scriptures that have to do with the Lamb of God. And you're going to hear them. You're going to say, wow, we always just refer to that as, you know, Jesus Christ doing that. But it's him as the Lamb of God. Now, I know some people say, well, you know, he's not a lamb anymore. He's, you know, he's a lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, it's interesting. Revelations, if you read through it, the lamb is all over the place. The lion's not. So do you think that's really giving us the characteristic of Christ? Is do you think that he's now changed from, you know, this lamb to just, you know, I know they say he's soon coming king, but I'm trying to tell you, this is the heart of Christ, was to be the one who lays down his life. And that's why he's still the lamb, because he's still, every day that somebody receives him afresh, it's like, I'm the lamb. Yes, I'm the lamb. And you can receive that work. Does that make sense? I mean, if he was already the soon coming king, his ministry of intercession might be done. Mm-hmm. Right now, he's the lamb that is there being the propitiation or the replacement for our sins. Mm-hmm. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now, I tell you what, if you were to really see that picture, some of you probably think you're seeing a horror movie. Because as a lamb that had been slain, does that mean that it's still blood? I mean, what was that picture that John saw that made him realize that this lamb had freshly been slain? Right? And then seven eyes and seven horns. I mean, this is Jesus? I mean, But it's the seven spirits of God. What I'm trying to show you is that the Lamb is still active in heaven. The Lamb is still the Lamb of God. Jesus is still the Lamb of God. Let's look at Revelation 21:27. But there shall be by no means, by no means, but there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. We've heard of the book of life, right? Have you heard the book of life? We all want to be in the book of life. It's the Lamb's book of life. We would think, well, it's God's book of life, or it's Jesus Christ's book of life. It's the Lamb's book of life. See, when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," did he even realize what he was saying? The Lamb's book of life. And again, what does the Lamb represent? Innocence. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these lambs that were sacrificed hadn't probably had much time to do anything wrong, you know. Except maybe get dirty in the mud maybe once or twice. But I mean, we're talking spotless lambs. And it's his book of life that our names must be written in. I don't want to get into all the details about what that means, but it's just talking about the new city. The city that's the Jerusalem, and those that come in are the ones written in the Lamb's book of life. Here's another one that, again, I read these and I go, you know, I just cannot do any other lesson today because this is just too powerful. Revelation 21:22-23. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty, this is talking again about that new Jerusalem, that heavenly city, that city of God. But I saw no temple in it. So there's no temple in this city of God. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The Lamb. Again, you would think the Lord God Almighty and Jesus Christ or Holy Spirit, but it's the Lamb. Is anybody else seeing this, or is it just me? Am I just being, you know, like all of a sudden, like, oh my goodness, do we understand the ministry of Jesus is still carrying on as the Lamb? That he is the one that is as though he was still slain. Everybody's quiet. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord, of the glory of God, illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Now we know that Jesus is the light of the world. I would say Jesus and the Lamb are the same, but keep in mind that this is describing Jesus still in the ministry of the Lamb. Anybody else getting this?
So our thinking that the Lamb, it was all done at crucifixion, really isn't all done.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Our thinking that the ministry of the sacrifice Lamb is done. Mm-hmm. No, he's still the sacrifice Lamb. He's still, that's why he's constantly making intercession, because he is that Lamb.
Yeah.
His blood is still active and alive. I know this is something that I'm going to ponder and go deeper into, because I know it's like opening a door and I can't walk quite through it right now, but I can sense it. Go ahead, dear.
Did you say a few sentences back, the Lamb interceding?
Well, I'm saying, unless this is happening in Revelation. But I looked, and the Lamb is mentioned almost all through the 22 chapters. Isn't it 22 chapters? Help me here. I think it is. Huh? Yeah, 22 chapters. I mean, from the very, very beginning, after John, you know, sees him as, you know, the bright one walking around the candlesticks and everything. It doesn't sound like the Lamb there, but around 5, he starts as the Lamb, and the Lamb's opening the seals. The Lamb is doing everything to expedite the work of the final chapter, as we know it.
Was that your question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's good. Intercedes for us.
Amen. So the Lamb is its light. Jesus Christ is its light, but he's the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let us, Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Okay, here's another one that may make you go, huh. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Wait a minute. I thought it was the groom. I mean, I thought it was like this groom was going to be like, you know, dressed in a tuxedo. But he's, even as our husband, as of the bride of Christ, he is the Lamb. And his wife has made ready herself. That's you and I, folks. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. For the marriage of the Lamb. Isn't that interesting? I don't know how many times I've read this, but I thought the marriage is like, you know, Jesus, but it's still in the ministry as a Lamb. Now it's making much more sense in Matthew 11, 28 through 29. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Gentle and lowly. He's the Lamb. So think of, you know, next time you pray to Jesus, just take a moment and picture him
as a Lamb.
I mean, not, you know, but I mean that attribute, that characteristic, humble, gracious, willing to take your place. See, I don't think it was just done 2,000 years ago. It says he was the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So he was the Lamb before anything was even started. What?
I'm just smiling.
Here's the other part of it. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. The marriage supper of the Lamb. So we have the marriage that is to the Lamb. And now we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I don't believe that Jesus is going to appear to us in heaven. I mean, unless he's like trying to prove a point or something like that. But as a Lamb. But I believe that John saw him that way to communicate a truth about the ministry of Christ. That he is still the how do I want to put it? The innocent one. Mm-hmm. He's still in the ministry of the innocent one. Like I said, I'll probably get more later on as I ponder this. So John 1:29, we'll go back again. And then I'll just make this other little point. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Notice it says, behold, the Lamb of God who covers the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who hides the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who ignores the sin of the world. No, who takes away the sin of the world. Who takes away the sin of the world. What does that mean? Well, let's take a look here. Little bit of Greek. It's the word arrow, and it means to lift or to take up or away. Figuratively, to raise the voice, keep in suspense of the mind. But here, specifically, to sail away. That is of the weighing of an anchor. So picture our sin as being the weight of an anchor. And Jesus pulled it up and allowed the ship to sail away. So if Jesus took away the sin of the world, where is it?
On his back.
But where, I mean, you know, we get into this thing. Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace, or I've been, you know, it's like the whole world full of sin. I mean, yes, I mean, there's still sin out there. Obviously, all you have to do is turn on the internet, turn on the TV. I mean, it's out there. Go to you know, even places like Facebook and stuff. You'll see, you know, it being conducted. But in Christ, it's been taken away. So when we receive Christ, where's our sin?
Sea of forgiveness.
It's been taken away again. And the world, or the cosmos, the whole world system, their sin's been taken away as well. All they're waiting for is someone to tell them that. Your sin's been taken away when you trust in Christ. It's not going to be a, you know, a monkey on your back anymore. You're going to be changed from glory to glory. Here's some other terms: away with, to bear up, to carry, to lift up, to loose, to make, to doubt, to put away, to remove, take away or up. And I believe it's taken away. And I believe it's gone. So why do I act the way I do? Just because you're still in the glorification process. As I've said before, there's probably things that I used to do that would be considered sin that I don't even think about it, because those things have come to the place where they're not hindering me anymore. Now you're saying, well, I mean, are you saying like you're sinless in those areas? Well, I mean, I'm sure if I gave myself over to whatever it was, first of all, I have to figure out what it was, and then I started giving ourselves back over to it, I'm sure it could entrap me. I'm sure I could, you know, focus on it long enough that it could start becoming a chain again. But to me, there's things I think that are gone that someone would actually have to bring them up again, because they're not part of who I am. Because who I am is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? I always like putting that plug in, because you guys need to be reminded that you're not just a bunch of sinners. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are being changed into what God's designed you to be daily, from glory to glory. It is the truth. And sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes it looks like we're having setbacks. But I believe if you're in Christ, you are being transformed.
It's really funny because I've always, I mean, not always, but I have looked at the Lord as being the drill sergeant. And it's a mindset that we have to change. That he is as gentle as a lamb. That, again, to him, what you did, it doesn't matter. Sin is turning and going the opposite direction.
And changing your mind.
Mm-hmm. It's not about that. But it is about having old mindsets erased to allow new mindsets to come in, who he truly is.
Mm-hmm.
And who he truly wants to be in our life. And he's not sitting up there and saying, you will do 50 this and 50 that and da da. But a lot of times we act like that's what he is like. Or we presume that's what he's like. So
you know what? We need to realize that we are like him.
Yeah.
It says that as he is, so are we in this world. We are to be lambs.
Yes.
You know, We're to be ones that prefer others to the place where, if it is going to cause you harm, that you should and can, by being the lamb, submit to that. And that's hard because that goes against natural thought. Survivalism, we got to make sure that we survive. We're okay. We got to make sure that, you know. But I'm here to tell you that he is the lamb. And we are just as he is, John. I think 1:4 says that as he is, so are we in the world. We like to think of the glory and the power and the majesty, and he has all that. But he has all that because he's a lamb. Amen. Does anyone else have anything to share? Anybody else want to try to tag team on the rest into this? Amen. Yes. I was supposed to do your video, wasn't I? Oh, good. Okay, well, let me go ahead and just close in prayer, and then we'll get to watch Derek's. It's the family one that you did. Okay. Right. I'll see you. Yeah. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together, and again, we ask, Lord, that you would allow your word, Lord, to transform us and change us, Lord, as you promised that it would. Lord, we know that you are still making intercession for us. You still are, Lord, the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being that gentle, humble, innocent lamb, Lord, that we can totally put our faith and our trust in. In Jesus' name, amen.
I miss you, fam, but it's hard to pick up the phone. I just want you to know that you're never alone, 'cause God is good and he's still on the throne. Remember the love that our grandparents shown. During the holidays, White Mesa was a spot. We gathered up together and headed for the rocks, looking at the scenery, taking a minute pause. We never seen the end 'cause it was all ours. Standing on holy ground, we could feel the power. Table full of grub while we broke fried bread. Not a care in the world, man, we was content. No regret, it was time well spent. I walked to your room and didn't see a bed. Eternity filled the years like you never left. I pray for your loss, trust me it'll get better. We may be far, but we'll never fall apart. Our blood runs deep, you forever in my heart. The Lord called me to carry on a legacy. Gave me a family to carry on the Billies. If you knew me back to every kid I hurt, I truly apologize. I made some bad choices and learned a hard way. The devil tried to tell me alcohol is your fate, led me astray to a dark cold cage. He didn't know there that I would be saved. Now I understand when they say amazing grace. I pray that you see and I pray for your faith. If you wait in the name, you ain't guaranteed a place. To the ones that made it, I long to see your face. Our loved ones is resting in peace, still holding on to faith in the deceased, still crying out for pain, hoping for release. I pray for that day too, we'll just have to see. My hope rose for me in three and he never sleeps. He wipes my tears and with me he weeps. There's an afterlife but the other ain't nice. I have to accept to receive eternal life. If I said we all go to heaven, I would be a liar. I deserve to be cast in the fire. I'ma look in awe till the day I see your face. I know it's getting closer, I see the pearly gates. I pray that we all make it to that peaceful place. To all my friends and fam, I pray you get it straight.
That's really good. You did all the music. Wow, it's really nice. I don't think our bass has had that much work speakers in a while, has it? Holy cow. I turned around. Yeah, we don't want people to go into AFib or anything like that. Well, praise the Lord. Well, go ahead and share with each other. Have a great day and blessings. Love y'all. Bye-bye.